is this month's book club for October. And joining me in the studio is the gorgeous Sylvia Ken and Andrew Summers. Sylvia contributes to national, regional magazines and online journals. She's written 10 books and counting, with the latest book, Barking and Dagenham from Old Photographs, still selling very well. She's over 2,000 articles linked to Facebook and Twitter, plus her highly successful blog and nearly 200,000 page views at all the www.sylviakent.blogspot.co.uk. Each month, Sylvia presents a book club here at Phoenix FM, and this month's guest is writer Andrew Summers. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Bit of a showbiz introduction there.
Yes, wasn't it good?
You should be walking down some stairs.
We should have been. We're all on the flat here, aren't we?
Now, we will be talking to Andrew in a while, so we're just going to kick off with you, Sylvia. And thank you very much, because Sylvia's brought me in a gift. I've forgotten to bring you, we can't mention on air, but I'll drop it off during the week. You'll like that. But I've got Piccalilli.
Last of the Piccalilli, because we've got to make some more, haven't we?
Is it quite difficult to make Piccalilli?
No. It's stuff in the freezer.
Oh, it's lovely.
Yes. So
I think you've made me some before. I'm sure I've had some before, yes. Yeah. I like that.
Each one is different, though. You can never recreate what you've just done. So,
and we might have a book from you soon about pickling and all sorts of
things. They have requested it, but it's a lot of work. And you know my promise, the last book was the 10th book, and I don't think I'll be doing any more.
I've got a great title, Pickled Sylvia.
Always pickled.
I get that book. Now, we're going to talk to our guest writer today, Andrew Summers. Before we do, you've got the Billericay Readers Group.
Yes.
What have you been reading at the moment with the girls and boys there?
Well, only the girls. We can't get men to join us. Mm. Only just one book this month, and it's The Tea Planter's Wife by Dinah Jeffries. And I gather this is right at the very top of the... She's just shot up there. It must be wonderful. Andrew and I are deadly jealous because we would love hundreds of thousands of people buying our books, but they don't, do they?
Not yet. You're working on it.
Yes, we've got to do some good PR, haven't we, Andrew?
It won't be long.
Yes, but it's a good book.
Yeah.
I'm a quarter of the way through, so perhaps next time I can tell you. It's quite exciting, actually, going out to Ceylon and all the secrets this husband has got that the young married woman eventually discovers, and a bit shocking, really.
Yep.
But, so we're all reading that. I'm always reading research books.
Yep.
And funnily enough, I have this book here, The Hidden History of Denver, and this is because my little sister, Liz, is over from the States for a month, and I'm promoting some of her books. She's also written 7 or 8 books, but mainly about America.
Yep.
Where she lives.
Yeah.
So that's natural, isn't it?
We should drag her in for next month. Yes. If she's still here.
If she's still here.
I don't say drag her in, didn't really sound as bring her into the studio, sorry.
Screaming by her hair.
Well, she is the younger sister,
you have met her, I think, in the past.
I think I might have done. I have met one of your... No, it was the other sister, I think, not the one from Denver, for your birthday.
Right.
Have you got 2 sisters?
I've got 4 sisters.
It was, I did meet one of your sisters, but I don't think it's the one from Denver. I think it was another one.
But she's really on the ball, my sister. She really is. And so I promote her books, including a book called Christmas Past in Essex, which is selling very well. She wrote it. Another sister illustrated it.
Wow.
Another one gave some... bit of poetry. So the 5 sisters are all involved in the little book.
Oh, wow.
And it was written 8 years ago, and it sells every Christmas in Waterstones.
Lovely.
So I've mentioned the store now.
Yeah.
And I go round to all the shops and I sign my books.
Yes, because you've got Barking and Dagenham, which I was mentioning earlier, because you've got 10 books, Barking and Dagenham from Old Photographs, still selling very well.
Yes, it is. And books on Billericay and Brentwood, which is, again, what we're doing on Saturday at Shenfield Library, so that's the 24th, from 10 o'clock until 1. And we've got our friend Andrew here, who's top writer, publisher, and he does lots of other things too, and he'll be there, plus Francis Clamp, Jim, everyone I've brought into the studio will be there on Saturday at the Shenfield Library, and the results and the monies that come out go to Marie Curie.
Yeah.
So hence all my little posters. I'm going to be shoving around both Brentwood and Shenfield. Today.
Lovely. And don't forget to give some to Roger, the CEO, who's just been in from the Brentwood Centre. So good morning to Andrew Summers. Hello, Andrew.
Oh, good morning there. Hello.
We're still here. I've sat you in the studio. You're both on, got quite a gap between you. It's not because I thought you might fight. It's just because that's a nicer microphone. So reading a little bit about you, you say you were born within the sound of Bow Bells, but on a quiet day.
Oh, yes. A lot of traffic in London.
Tell us about growing up in London, because Hackney, back, you know, in those days, what was Hackney like?
Well, Hackney is very much like it is today, to a certain extent. Very built up area, it always has been, but there are magnificent parks there, like Victoria Park, Wellstreet Common, Bethnal Green. You know, it's London should always and will always be proud of its parks.
Yeah.
And I lived in on Victoria Park Road, and whilst we only had a small back garden, our back door, our back gate on our garden opens to Wellstreet Common, which was a huge 50-acre common site. So that was really our back garden. And just across the road was Victoria Park, which is very close, in fact, for those who keep up with East End matters. It's very close to Bethnal Green Market, which EastEnders Market was... No, Roman Road Market, sorry. Which EastEnders Market was based on. So... London then, as it is now, is a very cosmopolitan community. It's had communities of emigrants. My dad was Polish. He came over during the Second World War, so there's lots of Poles there, but there was a big Jewish community. There were people coming over from the West Indies, so they lived there. We had obviously lots of what I'd call sort of original Hackney people for some time, but I mean, the whole mixture changed over time, but Hackney was a sort of great place to be in then, because it was very close to the West End, very close to the city. It was very easy to get around in London. You got sort of, as you even then, you had fantastic transport system, which London should be very proud of, and it still is today. So it was a sort of like great place to grow up in, I think. But once you get a family and you want a bit more space, then even then, for us, London was a very expensive place to buy a house in.
Yep.
So we went to Kent, then eventually we came to Essex.
Mentioning your school, you went to Brookhouse Comprehensive School, and there was a couple of other quite famous students there as well, wasn't there?
Yes. One of them is only really for your football buffs, was Rodney Marsh. He was a student there. He went on to play for Queen's Park Rangers in England back in the, I don't know, 70s and 80s. But I suppose the other one who is slightly more well-known, even today, is a young entrepreneur who was called Alan Sugar.
Yep.
And he was very keen to get people in to help him with that time, helping on a market stall he had, which was selling things like car aerials and sort of car radios and bits and pieces to that, because back in the early 60s, very few cars had those sort of things, and he thought there would be a market for that. Now, I did get asked to work on the market stall, but I wasn't too sure there was a future in that type of thing. And really, I'd got a paper round anyway, which was quite secure, and also I had Saturday morning football to contend with, so I really turned it down at that stage and went on to do other things.
Now, we're talking about the sort of writing. When did you sort of get into, you know, was it something you did from a very young age, or something that you got into a little bit later?
Not really. No, I didn't. I'd always had a hanker to write, but it was not really practical, because I was not very good at English, to be honest. It took me 5 attempts to get O-level English, and then I only just about scraped through. So I was not whilst I wanted to write, everything I produced was rubbished by other people. Now, when I was a bit more confident and a bit older, I had a printing business. And the first book we actually wrote, which I dug out the other day, was a little booklet here, which I brought with me, which your readers can see, was a little book called How to Get Value from Your Printer, because I had a little printing business then, and we produced a few tips how to get value from the printer, and we thought, well, we could sell that. Well, it didn't sell, I don't think we sold any copies at all.
He didn't have a PR person.
No.
I think we gave most of them away, which then was valuable PR for the printing business.
Yeah.
And that was back in 83. Now, then, basically, I moved out of printing and went into, basically, bookselling. First work for a direct bookseller, taking books around factories and shops and offices. But then, by a roundabout way, which I won't go into now, we started selling books in Portugal. Mm. And then from there we developed a book exporting business all over Europe. And this had gone on for quite some time, but I was always very interested in what went on in the local area. And we went on a local tour, a historical tour of Hadley.
Yeah.
And the people on the tour knew more about the local area than the guide did, which got me thinking, well, you know, if this is the standard of the guides, there's scope there for me to do something. Mm. And from that, we then teamed up with John Debenham, who had actually just done a degree in history, and we decided to see what we can do. And through my best printing and publishing contacts, we got our first book printed, which was called The Essex 100, which then became a brand name for us. And we haven't quite done as many as Sheila. We've only got up to 8.
Yeah.
If you include my first one, this one, the How to Get Value from Your Printer, that makes 9. But we've churned out in the last 6 or 7 years 9 books.